Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. A few years ago, a new voice appeared on the indie movie scene, a series of short, sharp, realistic films showing ordinary, if maybe socially awkward, people. People who run up against harsh authority figures, the holders of power, whom they try unsuccessfully to avoid. A little kid facing a domineering teacher, an older woman who may be losing her memory sent to a psychiatrist, a teenager accused of assaulting a female cop, an unsuccessful real estate agent with a pushy wife. The films created quite the buzz on the festival scene, bouncing from Edinburgh to Berlin, from Melbourne back to Toronto, picking up lots of prizes on the way. And now, the first feature, Tower, which played a TIFF last fall and is opening in Toronto next week. It tells the story of a rudderless, socially awkward man named Derek, a guy without ambition or aims who's just coasting along through life. It gives a slice of his life. This fascinatingly dark comedy is designed to make audiences squirm along with the characters on the screen. And I'm very pleased to have with me here in the studio writer-director Kajik Radvinsky and his longtime collaborator-producer Dan Montgomery to talk more about this new film. Hi, Kaz. Hi, Dan.
Hey. Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. So, Tower is about a guy named Derek who's played by an actor named Derek, Derek Bogart. And he's a bit of a loser, but he still gets by. So, how do you come up with this character?
A whole mixture. It came from all different places. It's a character that was with me for a while that I was thinking about. That I had trouble articulating it. More and more as I, you know, make films, it just feels like the only way I can get certain ideas out, certain characters out, is somehow through, making a film. And a lot of it came to life when we met Derek, and it just sort of turned into Tower.
Is Derek sort of like someone you met, or do you feel it sort of reflects yourself?
No, I mean,
just
I was
sort of an idea.
I was imagining a slightly different character before I met Derek. Like I, in the film, he's a construction worker,
right?
And initially, that made a lot more sense, or it was more, I don't know, literal. That I imagined it, you know, him looking like a person who worked with his hands. And then when we met Derek, it became maybe interesting for him to look out of place on the site. It might make it nepotism seem more apparent, things like that. So I definitely was something on my mind for a while, something I was conceptualizing, but after making all the shorts that were made in a similar way, we just got so used to letting the film grow once we met people and learning how to sort of tailor the film to what happens when we start shooting.
So how would you describe the character?
How would I describe the character? As a mixture of things. Someone that's sort of stuck, but maybe doesn't realize they're stuck. Someone that at times thinks maybe very highly of themselves, but then is completely, you know, maybe doesn't feel that they could be loved. I don't know. Just a whole mixture of things that, it's hard to define, hard to know if this is something, a person we should empathize with or not. Is this a problem? Is this person in a crisis or is he not? Is this nothing or is this, you know, yeah.
So tell me about the writing of the film. I mean, is it written? Is it actually a written down, memorized script, or is it improv, or is it somewhere in between?
So the simplest way to explain it is I never show the script to the actors. So with some of the shorts, I did write a script. With this one, we went all out, and even in my process, it was a skeleton of a script. I wrote maybe 50 or 60 scene descriptions, almost intentionally writing more than we could put in the film with the idea that we would drop some and just encourage us to shuffle them around and to sort of follow what was working and scrap the other stuff.
Did you envision the whole movie just sort of as a slice of life or as a linear, this happens, then this will happen, and then it'll end up here, and then it'll turn into this?
I mean, initially, I wanted it to be as open as possible and probably had some sort of ideas that just, you know, I remember writing notes like I want it to be free of context and it just to be a person existing. And then, but as we started shooting it and things developed, you know, certain things grow and become part of the film and end up directing it, things like the raccoon or animation or
right.
Different things sort of emerge and sort of grow out of the film. So, yeah. But initially, conceptually, I really just wanted it to be, you know, as open as possible.
Would you compare it in any way to a documentary?
Certainly. At least, in the sense of how we made it and in the style in which we shot it, too, that almost it's similar to a documentary in practical terms that, we had sort of it was a fictional character, but we were still following this character and sort of learning from the character, even though he was sort of a fictional creation. And we shoot it with a very small crew. Maybe Dan,
Yeah, I mean, even the way that's even the production elements, as a producer, I'm also doing the sound on set. At its very barest, there's three of us making the film, Kaz doing the directing, me doing the sound, and our cinematographer shooting. And then, you know, we have an art director there sometimes as well. And, you know, sometimes as few as only a couple of actors on set. So, you know, and we shoot it over a very long period of time, much akin to, you know, the way a documentary crew might shoot over several months rather than in a linear fashion over, you know, 4 or 5 weeks with 5 days on, 1 day off. So, yeah, absolutely.
And were there any scenes in which there were people who didn't realize it was a movie? Where, in other words, was everyone a cast actor, or were there just passersby in it as well?
Oh, certainly, yeah. There's some. Sometimes there'll be extras, like on the subway.
Oh, okay.
Or moments like that. There was a baby in the film. I'm sure they were unaware of being that they were being filmed. But yeah, there were a few non-actors, like Danny the construction worker. He had never acted before, and that was probably his character was maybe the closest to documentary. That basically what he said was very much his own life and his own experiences. That he was essentially playing himself, or Derek was asking him questions and he was just answering him.
Okay. So you were talking about the cinematography. I found that really interesting. It's a very extreme close-ups all the time. So it gives it a very tight feel to the whole thing. Like you don't have like big, vast scenery, you know, running through the hills or anything like that. It's all like, why is that done? Is that to keep it concentrated on Derek's mind?
It's something that's grown since like our short. So I think initial impulse is that I just like being near people's faces. But as we've made more and more films in the same aesthetic, I've become a bit more aware of his effects. I think primarily is I love the feeling of intimacy, being that close to people. But at the same time, it's uncomfortable. That it's almost like a morally, I don't think people should be too comfortable being this close to someone. And it's also just sort of the general feeling of sort of overwhelming the audience somewhat, having them in a position where they can't judge the character too comfortably. And it's sort of just being a glimpse of a person that hopefully, you know, implies other things too.
And when you make it, do you picture this movie being projected on a giant screen, or do you think of people watching it on their iPad or something?
I would say it would be a giant screen.
And
it's not even just the giant screen. It's almost people sitting in the darkness watching it,
right,
too. That there's something about that. It just seems how I've gotten used to sort of visualizing it, that I feel most comfortable. Yeah, people watching it in a cinema.
I saw Tower before I watched your short films. And when I saw Tower, I said, oh, it's a comedy, clearly, right? And then I watched your other ones. I thought, no, it's not necessarily a comedy. This is like a moral issue. This is a earnest, serious movie. So was there a shift from your, or am I reading into it, or what would you say they are?
I mean, some people have described Tower as a comedy, which I'm fine with, but it's more the people that hear it being described as a comedy and going and seeing it are can be kind of angry. If somebody
it's not
tells
a slapstick comedy. It's not a comedy, but I would say it does have a dark comic element.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, for me, it's almost, I deal with such bleak sort of stories at times that it's almost a way to inject a bit more life into them or something, just to give it a bit more. I mean, it's almost not to take it too seriously too. It's sort of just to balance it. And I think it would lose some of its meaning if it was too serious, or at least with some of these characters.
We've always enjoyed straddling that line on a comedy and almost provoking a nervous laughter of sort from the audience,
sort of
whether they're
laughter.
Unsure whether to laugh or not at a certain scene.
I think
scene.
That's a great state. That's how I really like the audience to be in, sort of that sort of uncontrolled laughter or sort of, yeah.
I'm speaking with Kaz and Dan of MDFF about their new film, Tower. So, one of the themes you deal with in most of your movies is this invasion of privacy feeling. So you often have characters suddenly having like a crowd of people gathering while they're in bed, mm-hmm. or while they're he's in his sanctuary where Derek makes films on his own, and suddenly saying, "What a great filmmaker is! Show him his animation." He's only done 2 seconds of it or something. Where do you get this invasion of privacy thing?
I think, I mean, with the two films that come immediately to mind would be Out in That Deeply Seen Tower.
Yes.
And I think it has something to do with how people deal with depression or sort of problems in their lives, that they're kind of comfortable struggling alone, but they don't want to be kind of revealed. But they're able to sort of lie to themselves somewhat. And I think that's maybe how something like the animation comes into play and how he sort of, you know, he's going through a tough time now, but one day he'll have his animation finished. And I think it's very true to the experience of those sort of people. But then, and then opening it up to other people coming in, I think is always a fascinating turning point.
Most movies shot in Toronto end up being somewhere else. They're pretending to be New York or London, wherever else they are. But your films are categorically, specifically, identifiably Toronto. Is that a decision, or is it just because you're in Toronto, you want to make it Toronto?
It is somewhat of a decision, I think. I mean, I feel like I'm going to continue making films in Toronto, and I like making films in Toronto. I think it's hard to know if Toronto's been influencing my films or if I've been drawn to making films.
But you include a lot of landmarks and subways, things like that.
A lot of them are coincidental. I mean, I was trying to think, just that we've been able to travel so much and just see cities that are so different than Toronto, even just sort of European cities, just sort of the character and the age of them. And also just, I don't know, it's something about Toronto just seems like a perfect landscape, at least for a film like Tower, that it just seems like a very contemporary city.
Right.
And a perfect city to sort of explore a less obvious problem, something sort of malaise or something, that there's no like, it's sort of like a bit, I wanted to do like a big city alienation film, but for it to not be, you know, it's feeling like it was coming out of like New York in the last century. I wanted something sort of, and I think Toronto's perfect for that.
And another thing, I don't know if it's your directing or casting, but the people talk with very Canadian voices.
Derek does in particular, yeah.
Yeah, other characters in some of your short films as well.
Yeah, it's interesting for me. I mean, my background, I mean, my parents both have English accents, so maybe I'm a bit unaware, or I don't know. It's not a totally conscious thing. I mean, I think we're more drawn by just people we like, and well, anybody. I mean, Toronto is just such a city of so many different people.
Certainly,
there's like an Irish accent in the film.
In the behaviors of the characters too. We've in Tower, we had a film critic write that it was the most Canadian breakup in cinema history. Almost this over politeness,
blaming themselves,
dominating the scene. Yeah.
So that definitely was something. I mean, overly apologetic. It was something I was fascinated, or sort of a vapid politeness. It seemed maybe if we were touching on how maybe people in Toronto might speak at times, sort of apologizing but not really apologizing, or apologizing so they don't actually have to, you know, really, you know, it's almost not allowing, like, giving themselves responsibility for what they're doing. I don't know.
So Derek is a guy in his 30s and he still lives with his parents, but he dates a woman who reminded me a bit of his mother.
Oh.
Is that was that an intention or just not really?
I mean, that wasn't purely. I think that took it maybe a step further than what I thought. But it's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Or it's. I think. Definitely. You kind of caught me off guard with that one. But that's kind of a no one's mentioned that before. So it's an interesting reading of it. Yeah.
To me, I was watching it again on a small screen, not a big screen. So. Your production company is called MDFF, which stands for Medium Density Fiberboard Films.
Yeah, a bit of a mouthful.
And in the movie, Derek looks like he's doing drywalling and fiberboard. Yeah. Is there a connection there?
So, loosely. Yeah, that's the family business for me. So.
Oh, it already is your... Okay, so that's your location.
I mean, my uncle and my dad both renovated houses growing up, so I was around those materials all the time. I think that, I mean... If I have Polish roots, that maybe is where I've been influenced in that way. Just sort of the independence, or sort of working in small crews, I think is maybe based for me somewhat off of being comfortable renovating houses with maybe small crews. But yeah, there's other things too.
We've always drawn a comparison between the actual material, medium density fiberboard, which is, you know, it's a particle material. It's made up of little particles that we sort of
so it's like a digital
liken wood. To. Yeah, yeah. Digital
right.
film.
So it was right when we were deciding to do film or digital, and it was sort of fully embracing digital and fully embracing.
Particleboard is the heaviest material around, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point too.
And your movies are pretty heavy too. Although I like this one because it had a light element to it as well. It was lightened with some of the humor and the odd situations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes when we explain the film, it sounds so dark and depressing, but we like to think that it's peppered with these moments of spontaneity and good humor, and I think that's a way to sort of draw audiences in.
I thought one of the funny scenes is where Derek's outside and we had a hot dog stand in the club district and strangers come over and say, where'd you get those shoes? Those Hamilton shoes?
Yeah.
It's like, what's a Hamilton? Are these Hamilton shoes that I'm wearing?
Yeah. Right. Well, Derek's actually from Hamilton.
He really is. He chooses his own wardrobe.
We were trying different cities to sort of get under. I mean, they were saying like Richmond Hill, and then I was like, no, say Hamilton, and then that seemed to work.
No, it was very funny. Yeah. Worked very well. How would you... categorize your style of filmmaking? Do you like the term mumblecore? Do you accept that?
I like mumblecore films. I kind of feel like the mumblecore, I mean, even American filmmakers, I think they're kind of past mumblecore.
Okay, but
there's still great mumblecore filmmakers making it. But I think like as a movement, I would sort of make it sort of specific to early 2000s.
Okay.
But the whole sort of a wave of new American cinema, yeah, is something that we've
been kind of... Like the Duplass brothers?
Yeah. Like when we premiered in Locarno, they kept calling us like the cousins of the American New Wave and really sort of trying to group us with them, at least from a foreign perspective. That's
right.
How people might view it. But yeah, so I'm definitely, that's Cassavetes too, who influenced mumblecore, I'm sure, is definitely on my mind as well. Alan King from a Canadian perspective. But yeah, definitely on those sort of roots.
How about an artist like Jeff Wall?
Jeff Wall, that's funny. Antoine, who Dan's produced for, used to sort of work quite closely with Jeff Wall as a sort of assistant.
Because there's a look in your movies that reminds me so much of his photos.
You should see Antoine's films.
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, you should though. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's another partner that we're working with MDFF, yeah. And he has a couple of amazing films.
Yeah. Are we out of time?
No. So, and finally, what's cooking? What's next? What are you planning doing after this one?
So yeah, we're working with other directors like Antoine and other sort of like-minded people. So with Medium Density Fireboard Films, we'll be producing hopefully a few other films. But next we're hoping to play some festivals in the States, and then beyond that, another feature I think similar to Tower, at least in scope or style, the same way that.
Oh, I hope so. It was a very interesting movie. Thanks, Kaz. Thanks, Dan. So Tower, a new film directed by Kazik Radvinsky and producer Dan Montgomery, opens next week, February 22nd, at the Royal Cinema in Toronto with the filmmakers there for a Q&A after the screening. So check this one out. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.